morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 16th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor and all-around good person, Estelle Fennell.
Thank you, Brian.
You're wearing, like, shocking pink. Is that the color of the moment?
That is the color of the moment. Okay. One wants to shock once in a while.
I won't ask you where. I won't ask you how. All kinds of things are kind of floating around now. Are you hearing anything from the governor about the May revise? Is it going to impact the county one way or the other?
I must admit I haven't read a letter yet, but I did get one from our CAO, and she said there's some good news for us in it, which is always a good thing.
Is there good news for us in there?
No. Oh. It's just for Amy.
Yeah, just for the electeds. Hey, guys!
No, for the CAO. No, oh, gosh, I should read that letter. But anyway, yeah, it seems like there's not much bad news, let's put it that way.
Good. Okay.
But, you know, speaking of that, one of the things that we discussed yesterday was a budget trailer bill, which is SB 623 and has
that's
to
the
do
thing
with
that Dave
taxing.
Hall talked about this morning. Yeah,
there you go. And
now he said
yesterday morning, I think it was it.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard him.
Yeah, this is this morning. he said 95 cents.
95 cents
per
month, I think. Right.
Okay.
No, per week. I can't remember. Anyway, it was tax on water, and
right.
that's and on drinking water, and that's the seminal issue. Dennis, whose name, my God, he's going to kill me. Dennis Mayo is on ACWA, which is the Association of California Water Agencies. And he spoke at our meeting yesterday, and they're opposed to this. And, you know, he drilled it down to the fact that taxing water is just... drinking water is just not the way to go. And there may be other ways to deal with providing good, clean drinking water to underprivileged areas, but the bottom line is taxing water, as he put it, would be really a dangerous approach to embark on. And that really resonated for me because, let's face it, we don't tax food. Hopefully we won't tax drinking water.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, as I said, next thing is the air. I mean, come on.
We got that already with air quality. You know, we're all paying for that also, right?
That's true. But
did you guys get into solar panels on the roofs?
Per breath at this time yet, and hopefully per drink of water. So I think I'm actually going to be talking with the Agriculture and Environment Natural Resources Policy Committee for CSAC about this, and let them know the kind of conversation we had yesterday. And I know that RCRC was in support of it. And
now, why would they be in favor of this?
Well, Supervisor Bone, discussed their thoughts on it, which is basically getting that clean water to the underserved communities and how do they pull that off. And
isn't this still in the same state that has got this surplus? Okay.
I just
want to make sure I hadn't lost everything in my mind. Okay.
Yeah, right. So the bottom line is I think that, you know, personally, he also, you know, had a real concern about the tax on drinking water. So that's the message I'm going to carry to CSAC, and hopefully CSAC won't take that position, but certainly Humboldt County agrees with the water agencies here.
With that particular Senate bill, is that something that McGuire... is out in front of? Is he behind it? Is he distancing himself? Where are he and Woods on this one?
You know, I am sorry to say I don't know. I know that it's Senator Monning. I think it's down in maybe Santa Barbara. I'm not sure. But that area, I can't remember now.
That's a curious place for somebody to write this particular piece of legislation.
Yeah.
There's got to be a
and
financial
I could be wrong.
Connection somehow.
Yeah, but I know that the bottom line is that the water agencies, who are the ones who would be,
the collecting agency,
that money, do not feel good about it. He's from Carmel. That's where he's from. I just remember.
It's south.
Yeah. One of those places.
Yeah. South of Mendocino doesn't count, right?
Yeah, right. Well, so, you know, it is. I'm just really appreciative of the fact that the water agencies and the districts have, you know, been so diligent in this to let us, you know their concerns, and there are a lot of them. There's a big, long list.
Yesterday, Dave Hull was talking about that it was going to get shot down as a 1 year, so they turned it into a 2 year thing, whatever it is, and now it's kind of hooking on to. I forget
it's a budget
what
trailer bill.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I knew there was some kind of a cute little phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so when the governor votes on the budget, there it's going to be sitting, and he can punch it out and not take any grief for it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be replaced. They could get the same amount of money with a package of funding, including ongoing federal safe drinking water funds, general obligation bond funds, the assessments related to nitrates and groundwater.
So why not go in that direction?
Yeah, that's what everybody is
Well,
saying.
And I do have to confess, I did make a cheap comment. I don't know if you heard it at the end there, where I said, who leads the state in nitrates in the water other than us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't play that card that somebody out that somewhere card. Else has got tough nooks, guys.
Buy
some filters.
Yeah. I know. We'll see how it goes, but that's how we're going on the record. Yeah.
So you think it's 95 cents a month, huh?
I can't.
So that would be about $10.
It's
that's about $500,000 dollars in Humboldt County.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, and you know, I don't know, nitpicking, and I mean, and for some people that doesn't seem very much, but for others it's a lot,
and
you're
precedent.
Just talking about disadvantage, and it's precedent setting. That was something that another public speaker said was, who knows where it'll go from here? It could go up, and it probably would if we made that plunge into a brand new tax.
Plunge.
Yeah, into drinking
Good.
Water.
Good.
As a tax
I use percolating on the other show, so that's about all the puns I have with it. KINS News and Information Times 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears, and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle. You mentioned water. I know that you're having fun with the dams and the water and all that kind of stuff with the eel. What are you hearing about? Yeah, I'm still a proponent. I know it'd never come back. That the Salt River and Old River they're never going to be what they were until we have another big flood, and then everything washes out, and then the environmental regulators are going to have a tizzy, but okay, fine. Then it'll be there for a little bit. But the water diversions, and you'd mentioned the nitrates in the water also. Yeah, is code enforcement, I don't know, I guess it'd be under the sheriff, but is code enforcement getting traction, or is there any kind of monitoring of the water that's going on in the EO right now that's indicating that post-legalization that there's starting to be more compliance and there's less of the fertilizer in the water system?
I would say yes. I mean, it will take a while, but anybody who's permitted or in the permitting process will not be doing any of that, will not be releasing anything like that into the watershed, won't be releasing silt, all of those things will be taken care of. The challenge then is to get the ones who are not in the system.
And they're still the majority at this point, right?
They are definitely the majority.
Okay.
And we have two resources at this point, maybe more, but two that stand out. One is the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They have their own independent officers that go out and do inspections and also do investigations. And they've already gone out and find a few people. And then we also have the county. Oh, my goodness. Well, no, not find. They found, I'm sorry.
Oh, found,
yeah,
not
I mean,
find
there was one
it.
That they found. I don't know if I told you about this, but there was one they found a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago. It was completely illegal. Never gone in for any kind of permits or anything.
Just a good old-fashioned grow out in the middle of the hills.
With over $3 million in cash sitting there, as well as many, many plants and product. So that was the CDFW that went out there.
Oh, man, too bad it wasn't Billy and the boys.
Well, they actually helped him.
Drug asset forfeiture, it's coming home, baby.
No, it will, because this will be asset forfeiture, and the county will have a share. The sheriff was out as part of the investigation, and in fact, I think they played an important role in helping CDFW to understand how to deal with that kind of cash, because they'd never run again up into it.
Yeah, $3 million. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. So
$3 million.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on the denomination of the bills, how big that pile was. But
oh, I could take a wheelbarrow or so home. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
So anyway, that was one aspect of it. But the other aspect was there were a lot of issues with diversion of illegal diversion of water, and who knows what other, probably grading, I don't know. So those, you know, in answer to your question about the nitrates and the impact on the water, I think we will see a marked improvement with those kind of investigations, and also with the county code enforcement. You should pay attention to the Sunday papers when we have all the legal notices. There have been several Sunday editions of the Times Standard now that have had those code enforcement letters about going out to people, telling them that they needed to come in and talk with the county.
I got to go back to that $3 million. I mean, that just was it locals? Was it part of the international drug cartel? Do you know any specificity along those lines?
I don't know yet. I think we'll learn that as we go along. The press release that came out, there were several names mentioned.
You didn't recognize any of the names?
Oh, yeah. The pictures, I didn't recognize any of the pictures, but I don't know. I mean, could be, if they are locals, they're not longtime locals, let's put it that
way. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, they're
yeah,
okay.
That's what I think. And the bottom line is that, or there may be, for all I know, the bottom line is that we are going to find that. We've found it already. We found people who've come in here just in the last 2 to 5 years who have no intention of working with the county and just making a lot of money. And they are, obviously. So they need to be investigated.
Ah, I see. We're having stratification right here this morning.
So
we got the bad guys and the good bad guys,
yeah,
and then the bad good guys, and then the good
good
guys.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to be good now, right?
Oh, yes. You betcha.
Yeah. So the other thing to do with water that was really big at yesterday's meeting was the Potter Valley project issue with Pacific Gas and Electric pulling out of that.
For folks that are unfamiliar with that diversion,
mm-hmm,
what is it?
Well, it started around 1908 when Ukiah wanted some power, and it started off as a power plant to give power to the city of Ukiah. There are two dams involved in it, the Van Arsdale Dam, which is the smaller of the two, and then the Scott Dam, which is above that. And what they do is they take the eel, they block off the eel, use it for power generation, and it also goes down into Lake Mendocino for water supply for Ukiah as well as Potter Valley. In the meantime, it takes the water from one watershed, which is the eel, and puts it into the Russian watershed. It creates a false tributary into the Russian River. So you have a lot of water going into the Russian that should be flowing down the eel.
With all the salmon stuff that Jimmy was so excited about, mm-hmm, for so long, now that there are natural runs on the Russian,
mm-hmm,
does that put a different twist into this dynamic also?
Well, I think that's one of the issues that is going to come up when these talks go forward, definitely. And again, the issue now for us as regional entities is that Pacific Gas and Electric is not relicensing their project, which means what do we do with this now that it's not their project
anymore? Oh, I know what we do.
Yeah.
Take a break. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Potter Valley Project in and of itself sounds like it's something that's kind of quaint, arcane, cute, etc., etc. But there's a whole lot of stuff.
A whole lot of stuff.
Economic stuff at risk, depending on how things fall, either being interpreted in one direction, interpreted in the other direction, or somewhere in between. When you've got these various economies at risk, you know, if we went to the extremes, if it all stayed in the eel, okay, now there's a whole bunch of challenge. If the eel was totally diverted and they decided to add more water, okay, there's a whole different dynamic that's at work with that. But there are economic consequences to everything, including keeping it as it is. What kind of sense do you have, other than PG&E just saying, not my fault, and backing away from it? Is this going to be a money grab for Humboldt? Is this going to be a water grab for Sonoma? What sense, in reading your tea cards right now, which way does it go?
I would say that overwhelmingly what people we've heard from anyhow at yesterday's meeting in Humboldt County is people in Humboldt want their water back. So I hear less of it's money and more about water. On the other hand, as you so correctly pointed out, you've got Sonoma, Mendocino, Lake County, and was somebody at the meeting pointed out, even Marin is using some of this water. At this point, buying it from Sonoma, you've got some very heavy hitters down south who have vested interest in this project at this point. So we have to come at it from a position of strength. And that's one of the reasons why I brought it to the board yesterday. And I had the Wiat tribe there, the city of Fortuna, the city of Rio Del, and then Hank Seaman from Public Works was also there to tell us a little bit about how the county might get involved. And we would need legal consultation and a technical consultation. It's huge. So I don't know that we could take the whole thing on, but maybe as a regional entity, we can affirm our rights and fight for what is rightly ours. But at the same time, we will have to take into consideration the other issues you mentioned.
How did the Kumbaya group work out with the Klamath Dam?
Exactly.
You had the farmers there, and everybody kind of started pulling away. You had a couple that were kind of like the stickies. Mm-hmm. You know, when Joe left, things kind of started falling apart, and then a couple others left, and it just kind of went.
It's dissipated. It's a very big. Yeah.
I mean, this is, I would think, has more at risk because it's not just the fish and the farmers. Now you got the wine, and the wine connoisseurs, and as you indicated, a lot of these guys have got many zeros after their name.
That's right. Money. And population, remember that too, voters and money. So we have a lot, we have a big task ahead of us, but I think if we work together, we have a lot more ability to not be just the little guy in the room. I think including those stakeholders, bringing that message to the Eel Russian River Commission, we talked before about the Eel Russian River Commission possibly, I'm not saying yes, but is already a joint powers authority, could something be formed? I don't know but how
Kinder
else
is like
going to be done.
Special district or something
yeah.
like that.
And then the other thing is that, remember, there's a power component to this. Is there somebody who wants to buy that project for the power? It's only somebody who wants 9 megawatts of power. That's not a whole lot, which is why PG&E doesn't want it. And it also is a very, very expensive prospect, because what has been discovered with the fisheries investigations or whatever testing that has been done is that the Scott Dam basically cuts it off, and all of these reaches that were available for spawning are no longer available. So you either have to create a very, very, very expensive fish ladder or possibly look at taking that dam down. And so there's a big issues to be discussed, and this is, we need to move pretty quickly. So myself and Supervisor Bone, who's the alternate on the Eel Russian River Commission, we have a short-term ad hoc committee that will meet with some of the stakeholders to see what message we want to send back from Humboldt County when all these guys get together in June down in Ukiah.
In June.
June 8th is when the Eel Russian
River... about 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. It's very short term. But just remember, PG&E came to us in February in here in Humboldt County and said, we're not sure if we want to continue with relicensing. Now, they have said they'll continue with all the process for relicensing, but now they're telling us they're planning on auctioning it off. I don't know if anybody out there wants to buy it.
I bet you if there's enough zeros that are interested,
mm-hmm.
there's a body that's out there.
Yeah.
KINS, it may not be the one we want, however. KINS,
yeah,
News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. The concept of this large regional water special district,
mm-hmm.
just for lack of a phrase for me to wrap around, I can't imagine what the EIR on this sucker would be.
Oh.
I mean, you put in a driveway, mm-hmm. and you're talking about traffic studies and economic impacts of the neighborhood grocery store, oh my, you know, this thing's the size of a state, and you got to do a report on what's it going to do to the grapes, what's it going to do to the water, what's it going to do to this mm-hmm. county, what's it going to do to recreation, what's it going to... There's no way.
Well, actually, that is part of the relicensing project, too. So, you know, PG&E has said they will continue with those steps that are required, and they've done some already. So it's a very, very complicated situation. I'm not sure if it can be done, in time to stave off an auction, if that's what people want to do. Could the region... have talks with PG&E and see what would work for them, if it would be delayed. I don't know. I have no idea. But the bottom line now is this is an opportunity for us to put some teeth in there and start talking about what's important to Humboldt County.
Now, if you had a pile or four of money, okay, you could afford and hire the specialist, put everything mm-hmm. together, get it all ready, and roll it out. I don't sense that the county has got that.
No, the county does not have that, and the county, I don't think, would be that happy to spend it either, even if we did. But regardless, we have already funded a part-time position. Craig Tucker, who has a lot of experience, is working with Hank Seaman, so he'll may be able to help us a little bit at the very outset.
Yeah, pull some of it together a little bit.
Yeah, and Hank said that it would require more funding, but that's just one position. I don't think that would be a huge ask, but I would just posit the
Humboldt County part.
Yeah, that, exactly. No, we're talking Humboldt County.
The total project to consider would be.
And I think that, PG&E is responsible for some of the issues that have to be addressed in that. And so
we thought the railroad was going to be responsible for some of the oil cleanup, too.
No kidding.
So.
Yeah, I know.
Nice perspective.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely very challenging, but it's also an opportunity, is what I like to say. And if we can just work together, at least as a county, present a united front, we'll be, you know, a long way towards a better resolution for Humboldt County than if we all are kind of.
Now, I mentioned the choo-choo train, too. I mean, it's another one of those regional things that kind of has gone off the tracks a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the status with that? Or is that the model to take and to replicate for the water?
Well, somebody actually mentioned that was coming up, too. I think, was it Darren Moreau? I forget now. But the bottom line is, yeah, the NCRA right now is the subject of a bill being put forward by Senator McGuire, SB 1069. And that would change it would change to a trail project instead of a rail project. But it would, the NCRA has asked to go with our strategy, which is to say rail with trail up in the northern part of the district. His concept is to, I don't know if you would sell it off or whatever, but you would split off the southern part to Sonoma Marin Transit as SMART, who are running that high-speed rail right now. Not the high-speed, but the...
not Jerry's.
That one. But the commuter rail down there near Petaluma and those places. And so turn the whole southern part over to them. Do a study on freight, both for them, although we're saying they should do a study on freight for the northern part as well. We're asking that South Fork North be included in the rail with trail concept. The senator is basically saying rail bank the whole thing except for right around the bay. And then
so
of
he's buying in with that perspective.
Yeah, and we're meeting with ranchers who are concerned about the rail going over their private property and what that impact would be. So there's a lot of discussion on that one, too. So very big changes for Humboldt County in the works.
Well, not like there hasn't been in the last 25.
Yeah, right, exactly. Change happens. If you can't manage that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was... go in the positive route every once in a while, to make some of us feel like we're doing something worthwhile.
I think we are. We also had a presentation from Cassandra Heseltine on the Film Commission, and that was pretty positive. You know, we've got a lot going here, so.
All right. Well, speaking of going, so are we. Thanks for coming by.
Bye-bye. Thank you.